Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors.
And welcome once again, our beautiful friends, family, supporters, and guests to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us this Sunday as we bring to you another awesome and enlightening discussion from Imam Shaheed Shabazz on The Reality of the Creator. Today's subject will be The Unity of Allah Will Destroy All Evil. And as you can see, it's going to be a powerful discussion. We welcome you. We know you're going to enjoy it, but we want you to also join us. Join us and always invite others to join us. Now, our beautiful people out there in the radio listening audience, if you would like to join us, you need to push the number one button on your phone. Push number one on your phone. Your number will show up in our studio, and we will be glad to have you on the show for your feedback. Thank you again for joining us. And now I will let you know a little something about what Imam Shaheed Shabazz will be discussing today, and then we will turn the show over to Imam Shaheed Shabazz. Today's discussion again, the unity of Allah will destroy all evil. People, evil can only exist when people fight the unity of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Evil fears Allah's power. So, if you want to destroy evil, learn to do so, do the same. Most people don't have the fear of Allah. Fear of Allah is the fear to lose the love and protection of Allah. Allah is the only protection against all evil. Evil's number one weapon against people is disunity. Allah created the human being as one soul, and until people accept that we are one humanity, evil will always be able to keep people under his power. The last prophet, Allah, wanted to bring people back to the way of Allah. Was people, Prophet Ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him. And he was successful until after his death. Most people went astray from Allah's unity, and they are astray until this very day. As you can see, this is a powerful discussion, people. And we have Imam Shaheed Shabazz here and ancient and ready to go to teach you today. And now I give to you Imam Shaheed Shabazz. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you all. We thank you for listening in today. Most importantly of all, we want to give thanks to our Creator, Allah, the one Creator of the heavens and the earth, and thank Him for waking us up this morning. Many people, He didn't wake up this morning. He called back home, and He took their soul out of their body, so they'll wait for judgment. But those of us that are still left here, we still got work to do, and not working for a paycheck. We got work to do if we want to be prepared on the day of judgment to earn our way back home with Allah in His gen of heaven. We have to work as well as pray. You cannot just pray. You cannot just pray. You got to walk as brothers pray. So we will begin with the opening prayer of the Holy Quran, which is a guide for all people in the world, not just for Muslims. So we'll begin that prayer and we'll begin the discussion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياكنا أبرو وإياكنا استعين إدنا صراط مستقيم صراط الذين عمت عليهم رحم مغضوب عليهم والدولين آمين. We just said, people, translated into English, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, the Lord of all the worlds. Guide us. We ask Allah to guide us on the straight path, His straight path, the path of those on whom Allah has bestowed His favor and grace, and those who go not astray from the straight way, the right way that our Creator, Allah, created us to live. We ask His protection from our own self-will, leading us astray from the will of Allah. I mean, that's self-fatah. That needed to be added in there. So with that said, people, with what the sister just, the co-host just said, I shared with you about this topic. I'm going to continue on the second page. So only Allah's unity can and will bring people back to the unity of humanity. And people, there is no comparison between the Creator and His creation. When people forget this fact of life, they lose their true spiritual life and succumb to the influences of evil, which destroys the human soul. So only when people forget that they are not independent, nothing Allah created is independent. Everything Allah created is dependent on Allah's love and protection. People, to know this and give your life back totally to Allah is your only salvation from the fire of evil. Yes, that's, praise be to Allah. That's very powerful because, people, evil is just like a fire. And I want to share this with you along today. You know, Allah said He created the jinn, Satan, and his followers, the jinn. They're called jinns. He said He created them out of a fire free of smoke. Now, I want you to understand that if you ever seen a fire, and I done put out fires, okay, if you don't pour no water on that fire will continue to just burn everything in its path. So what that means is that when evil gets a hold of us, our heart, our mind, and influences us, it don't just influence us to destroy ourselves. It influences us to go out and destroy all human beings, and not just human beings. It influences us to destroy Allah's creation, as you see most people are doing today. Yes? This is why the unity of Allah is so important. Why is the unity of Allah so important? Because once we know the unity of Allah, our Creator, then we'll know our unity, that we are one, and we're only one through the unity of our Creator. Now, understand this. Allah is all good. So when we as people learn that our true nature, Allah said He created the nature of His goodness in every human heart. So our true nature as human beings is good. So, but we won't know that unless we come back to the unity of the goodness of our Creator. He's all good. That's very important. And as we go on, we'll read a few hadith or sayings of the Prophet, to show people how in the world today, while most people are destroying themselves and destroying each other. So we want to read a few hadiths here. I was out working earlier, and I went out doing some da'wah, spreading the faith to two Muslim families. All praises due to Allah in Greensboro, North Carolina. And one brother gave me a book, and the name of the book is, Biting, the Root Cause of All Evil. Yeah, Biting, the Root Cause of All Evil. The commands and prohibitions of the Shariah, the law of Allah and His Prophet. This hadith here is reminding people and showing the importance of what God and our tongue, you know, what we say out of our mouth. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he said, the importance of God in one's tongue against that which is prohibited, even the slightest, he said, carelessness on the part of us not guarding our tongue from saying things evil, can make all the organs of the body suffer for that. See? Your whole body. It means that the members of the body consider the tongue as the one denying the favors of Almighty Allah bestowed on us. Next, I want to say, and then I want to bring on some guests if they want to come on. People, you cannot serve your Creator being crooked. His path is a straight path. It's not a crooked path. Allah said the crookedness of the tongue means careless use of the tongue, which puts the whole body in trouble. And keeping the tongue straight means, with Allah, means keeping oneself safe from all kinds of troubles and trials and cursing Allah and, you know, thinking that the trials, Allah's punishing us, when really Allah's putting us through trials and tribulations so that we may learn that we are not independent, that we need Him and call on Him for help. And He said He will help us. And this is the only way, people, that we have any hope. And that goes right along with the meaning of the subject, that the unity of Allah. And Allah says, along with that, that if we guarantee Him, we will keep our mouth shut unless we got something good to say, and that we will guard our private parts. Do not go around here fornicating and committing adultery and, using your body parts for sexual indulgence into ungodly sex. He said if you do those two things, He will guarantee He will guide you all the way to heaven. You will be one that He guaranteed paradise. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, and the unity of Allah will destroy all evil. And as we can see from this world and our society today, that we are very disunited. Yes, there is no unity today, very little unity among mankind. And this is what's creating all the problems, people, that we have today, because we are not united, we are not together. But when we say unity, we don't mean unity in anything and everything, and unity in trying to compete with each other, whether it's good or evil. We mean the unity that brings us together in obedience to the will of Allah. We see out here that, yes, we have people who call themselves religious people, upright, God-fearing people, even the Muslims. Yet they're trying to follow the way of this world, the corruption in this world, the society, the mortification of this world. We find that the people are all involved in trying to prove to each other that they can do better in doing worse than doing wrong. I like to use better because you can do good. Worse than doing wrong than they can do good in doing right. And I noticed at a show I went to yesterday, which really of sort of really disappointed me, and that we're supposed to be showing people the best way, the way that Allah has given us to dress, to carry, to conduct ourselves, the clothing that He has given us to wear, and the way He wants us to. And He says no form fitting, and we know why He says no form fitting. We don't even have to ask that question. We see what's going on in the world, and it's all created because of the disobedience, and that's one of them. And going astray from doing as the law says, to from dressing, from eating, from our moral, our socialized, everything we do is opposition to the law's will. And that was seen very clearly yesterday in a show that I went to, which was very disappointing, when we were supposed to send the message home as to the way that Allah wants us to live our life, conduct ourselves, and dress accordingly. And now I will bring on a guest that I see that has been on. We have a guest here that has been on with us since we've been on. And we will hear from this guest at this time if there's any feedback or anything that the guest, this person, would like to say. So the number that I'm calling, bringing up is 408-603-3292. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Calling from California. I'm Dr. Zakia Hyatt, psychologist.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, indeed, alhamdulillah. We thank you for joining us on our show today. And we'd love to hear from you, have your comments at this time, if you want to wait until later. But definitely,
I'd like
welcome.
To wait until later. I'd like to wait until later. Yes. Yes.
All right, sure. Okay, then, so we will continue with Imam Shabazz at this point so that he can feed us a little more of this knowledge that he has brought to us today from our Creator, the Almighty God, Allah. Imam Shaheed Shabazz. Okay,
right,
we're ready
thank
for you,
you
to
Absolutely.
Continue.
Thank you very much, and thank you, sister, for taking the time out when you could have been doing any other thing to come and listen at a program that will remind you of your Creator and remind you that this life we're in is temporary, and that it's only a place where we was put to be tested to see which of us would be best in our conduct and be rewarded with Jannah again, heaven again, the eternal heaven. We can have a taste of heaven on earth, but you can't have the real heaven until you leave this body and go back into immortality, because we are mortal in the physical, but in our souls we're immortal like our Creator. So I want to say that to say that, you know, Allah, the Creator, He say in His last book, Revelations, the Holy Quran, He said this world that we're in is nothing but goods and chattels of deception. You know, most people, sister, doctor, they look at this world and they, you see them putting all of their trust in material things. You see them putting all their trust in each other. My doctor, my husband, my wife, my child. And you see a lot of people, when they lose a lot of these things, they give up on life. Why do they give up on life? Because those things they were worshiping couldn't give them life. Your husband can't give you life. Your wife can't give you life. Your doctor can't give you life. No one can give life but Allah, the life giver. He's the giver of life and death. So I want to say this too, because this is very important for Muslims. This is why you got so many Muslims being destroyed today, being destroyed by Allah. And not all of them are bad, but it's a reason for this. Allah, there's a story I want to share with you before I go on. There was a town thousands of years ago. Allah Almighty, He sent the angels to destroy the town because the town was wicked, just like the wicked world we're living in. But this was a town. And He asked the angels, though He's all-knowing, this is for us, He say, is there any Muslim family there? It says, one Muslim family there. He say, Allah say, well, having anything got any better, anybody's conduct having any good. You don't see no good in nobody. Since that Muslim family been there, the angel said, no, Allah. In fact, things have gotten worse since they've been there. Well, Allah said, when you go back, you all go back to destroy that town, start with the Muslim family first. Destroy them first, and then destroy the rest of the evil people. Now, this is so important to Muslims because most Muslims today, they don't like doing da'wah. And da'wah not just meaning go out and spread Allah's word or message in the Quran to other people, but doing da'wah on yourself. What do I mean by doing da'wah on yourself? It means fighting against your own jinn. Every human being have a jinn, and that jinn is just like the jinn Satan. That jinn rebels against what Allah want us to do. Allah say, do this. The jinn, our jinn say, no, don't do our law like Allah want. Do it like I want you to do. Anytime you hear people always talking about I, you know they're jinn. Because if you really know the truth about yourself, you will know that we are absolutely nothing and Allah is the only reality. So, in continuation of this talk on this page, Allah want me to say, Muslims, we have been blessed with the correct way of living for all people. In Allah's clear and last book of Revelations, guidance, in the Quran. And people, I want you to understand, there is no falsehood in the Quran. Man or woman in any language or any race, or there ain't but one human race, you cannot change any of the ayats or surahs in the Quran from the first chapter to the 114th chapter. Allah have guarded the Quran from corruption. Now I want you to understand what that means because oftentimes imams don't break that down. What do Allah means you can't even touch the Quran if your heart is not pure? We know we can pick up the Quran. A corrupt man or woman can pick up the Quran. They can touch it. He don't mean touching it with your hand. Allah means if your heart is impure and corrupt and desires evil, you can read the Quran, but you will not he will not bless you to understand not one ayat or one word of his truth. That's what it means. The Quran corrects and unites all Allah's revelations that Allah sent to all Allah's prophets and messengers. From the first prophet Adam down to the last of the prophets, Muhammad. You see, all these men were sent by Allah to teach the oneness of Allah. And they did. The unity, the oneness of Allah. And brought the world back at that time back to unity where people didn't see each other as enemies because Allah said he created us as what nations and tribes that we might get to know each other, not despise each other. The creator Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's also the one that made all things one in his unity. He made the creation one in his unity, and he made the human beings one in his unity. When he put his spirit in our body, it made us one soul, everybody. And this unity we can see in all creation, because everything in creation, even when we see birds flying, they fly in flocks. The ants, when we see them, they be all working together. So we can see signs in the creation that points to the unity of our Creator in the animals, in their sun, the moon, the star, in all creation. Allah say in his final revelation, the Quran, that he sent down the Quran as a mercy and guidance to all humankind. Also, Allah say he sent down the Quran as a book to teach people the difference between right and wrong. You see, so without Allah's guidance in the Quran, there is no people of this Mother Earth will be able to understand right from wrong. That's what we see today. Muslims have the responsibility to teach and go out and show the world the way back to the one Creator and his unity among all humankind. That's what the heart represents. And his true guidance in the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I just said assalamu alaikum, sister. Wa alaikum salam, sister.
Yes, I didn't hear you for a second there, so I thought we might have been cut off.
No. I hope everybody else could hear me listening.
I believe they can, inshallah.
I hope you could hear some of what I was saying because, I didn't feel like we were cut off. I could understand that. I knew that. I could tell.
Yes. Okay. So, forgive me for interrupting you, and you may continue.
Well, okay. In my continuation, I don't want to go back over. What I've already been blessed by Allah to say. This is so important because most Muslims and most people, they don't do this. Allah say the hardening of the heart is a condition where a person neither learns any lessons from Allah's signs, nor does they accept anyone's good advice. If one indulges in idle talk rather than the remembrance of Allah, their heart becomes hardened, which is a sign of being far from Allah's mercy. One should therefore engage themselves in the remembrance of Allah. And Prophet Muhammad said, if you want Allah to guide you, control your tongue and keep your house and weep over your sins. See, people are so, they try to act so tough and like, I know this, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm an imam, I'm a sheikh, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Hindu. What you are by name means nothing to Allah. What means everything to Allah is your intentions and your actions, what you do, how you living. Allah said it's better for one to spend their time at home in the remembrance of Allah, reflecting upon the Quran and performing acts of obedience to Allah. Allah say if they feel unable to benefit others, or if they fear that they and their religion will not be safe if they mix it with others, Allah greatly likes it that one repents at home of their own sins and weeps over their own sins, like with our weeping angels that weep for us down here in this sinful world of people, most people. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. As you can see, we have another strong discussion today, another beautiful discussion that is well needed, and that the unity of Allah will destroy all evil. And people, what you mean by the unity of Allah, Imam Shahid Shabazz is so beautifully addressing that today. Yes, we have to come together as one soul, one body, one humanity. But we can't come together just in any way as one humanity. We have to come together in the way that pleases our Creator, that He has ordained for us, the instructions that He has given to us to live by, His blueprint for life. This is what we have to come together in doing. And it will manifest itself in the way in which we live, in the action. We won't see these problems. We won't have all these problems. This destruction of self and others, this disrespect for life and humanity and the creation. That would not be if we would just come together under the unity of Allah and become one humanity, one creation. really showing our love and care for one another and not trying to compete with each other in this long, decent, moral, and decent ways and decent actions and decent dress. We are coming together, people. It appears in the wrong way, in the way that doesn't please Allah, but that is pleasing to Shaitan. He's laughing at us. He's teasing. And they said this will happen in the last days. We were told this, weren't we? That in the last days, you will find that people come together, but it wouldn't be for the unity of Allah. It would be for coming to, they would say it's for that, would pretend it's for that, but the actions will tell you differently. They are pleasing Shaitan. And Shaitan said, well, he would get all of Allah's people. He's going to get everyone. And Allah said, except my most devoted servants. Yes. And we have to strive to be not just Muslims, but the most devoted servants of Allah in order to please Allah and in order to do the work of Allah. Otherwise, we get caught up in trying to please society and to show society that we can do even worse with their evil as than they are doing. To dress and show ourselves off even worse than they are doing. You don't know the Muslim from anybody else out here now. There was a time when we came in, it wasn't like that, and everybody was complimenting us because of our dress. But now you're asking, where are the Muslims? What Muslim women? Because we, even though we may cover our heads, our bodies are not covered. They're exposed because we are wearing all these form-fitting clothing out here. And it's so unnecessary. I was in Christianity for years. And do you know that if you live Christianity in the right way, it's like living Islam. Oh, the people used to think terrible, even in those days, of people showing exposing themselves. When we came along, we always had to dress in a modest, loose way. Otherwise, we said, no, that's not pleasing to your God. Okay, or they would say that's not pleasing to your Jesus. So you find that even in other religions, people who want to live right today, who want to please their creator, whoever they call him, they will dress that scene, they will act the scene, they will do good, dress good, say, talk good, speak good. As they say, see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. And that's the way that you can identify people who are starting to do right. But when you see it, people out here say, calling themselves Muslims or Christians or Jews or following the Torah or whatever, but yet their talk, their actions, their dress and all are showing differently, then you know something is wrong here. There's a confusion or something going on. So people, we want to identify ourselves by our actions and our deeds. And now I don't want to go on. We have some beautiful guests today, and we will try again to call our first guest on, who is the doctor, and I must apologize, doctor. I couldn't remember your last name. Please forgive me. Your name is Dr. Could you repeat it again for me?
Oh, me? Oh, Dr. Zakia Hyatt.
Dr. Nakia Hyatt, and we will, again, welcome
Zakia.
You. And it's at this time, we'd love to have a comment from you.
I think everything that's being said is quite interesting, right on point. And, you know, I just in retrospect to what has been said, it made me go down memory lane to the time where years ago those who had embraced Islam, our energy was there to take this information and put it out there. I mean, we talk the talk and walk the walk. And but I think, and I'm not being biased or anything like that, but I think once we mingled with the other communities of Muslims, I believe some of us got lost in respect to the task that we initially had set out to do, in creating this awareness and unity. So when we see a situation which is right in front of us, like today's time of fear, then we assume that fear applies to us and those who have been embraced Islam from this country. We internalize that fear. We think it's our fear too, and it somehow prevents or affects the mobility. It prevents and affects the way we perceive things, and it takes you off course, of course. So it just makes the journey a lot harder or more complex when we go out and try to put information out there, and yet we see people who are coming from other countries have sometimes a different agenda to Islam, even though they have Islam and they have had a history of being in an Islamic setting than people in this country. So I think it's just a matter of how to bring that unity together where we can work together and not fall into nationalism. Because once we fall into nationalism, it throws, I think somehow it spins us out. Those who lived in this country, we get spun out into back into our own culture again, and then we get thrown out and we're not a part of the struggle. So it becomes like, you know, this country's struggle, and it's not about the Islamic struggle. So if you could comment on how we could work on uniting those struggles, because, you know, they, you know, like some people have cultural struggles of their country, even though the struggles are similar, because when we see it, it reminds us of our historical parents and what their struggle has been through and what we've been through in this country. So a line has been drawn in this country between the different cultures of Muslims and some of the influences that you've just mentioned. We see that, and, you know, so I don't know. I don't want to be rambling off, but if you can comment on how we could unite under that umbrella of unity and a law awareness, because we're lost. I think we've lost the game plan.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yes, sister, that's so beautiful, because in listening to you, it was taking me back to, again, a show that I went to, a Muslim show it was supposed to be in, and I could see how we were trying to blend in and please the Muslims from the other countries instead of, like, Imam Warthi Muhammad. I remember him saying that when he went to other countries, they would say that they wished that he could stay there and teach their people Islam. Now, that's something to think about. If their people had Islam the way it should be, why should they want him to teach their people Islam? You see? And that should make us try to think about what our role should be here and realizing that they have gone astray. And they are trying, they have a fear, especially in America, of not pleasing the people here in America, not pleasing society, you know, and being rejected. So therefore, they are trying to mix Islam with the way of life here in the society that we're living. And it doesn't mix. You can't mix the two. Oil doesn't mix with water. And so, as you said, we have really gone off course as such, and we're losing our identity and don't realize that. It's so beautiful to see this. But the question is that we have to work on how to get our sisters and brothers and sisters to see that we are going astray from the way even of Quran and Allah, and trying to please society of the people, another group of Muslims, other Muslims who are coming over here trying to find themselves and their way in the society and be accepted. So we thank you so much.
Yes.
And now we have, is there anything else you would like to say at this time?
I would like to comment on what the sister said, if I can get an opportunity.
Oh, yes, certainly. Yes, sir. That's right, brother. We're not ignoring you. Definitely. Okay. Let's hear from the man, Shahid.
Because what the sister said was profound. And it was the profound truth. Hard truth. I mean, everything she said. Allah says in the Quran, He created us as nations and tribes that we might get to know one another and not hate and despise each other. And you got a lot of, this is what's dominating the Muslim world. Muslims are despising each other, let alone talking about the other people that are not Muslims despising us. And also I want to say what the sister said, and you said earlier, as African American people in particular, we got a special destiny other than as a people and as Muslims. It's different from every other person in the human race. We were sent here by Allah, yes, over 400 years ago. To just like when you go on the purify gold, you have to send it through fire. And then you get all the dross net off of it, and it becomes pure gold. So we are similar to that as a people. Allah sent us through a fire here in America of hell, of ill treatment that no people He allowed in history to go through, but it was to purify us so that we would understand and not lose, humble ourselves, call on Him, and then humble ourselves to the point that we recognize we are under a people who have really took our creator from us. They've taken our faith from us, which was Islam. And, you know, we have a mission, a certain mission. Whether you like Elijah Muhammad or not, whether you like Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad or not, those two men are the responsible for the majority of African-American Muslims being Muslims in this country, whether they call themselves Sunni, Shiite, or whatever. You don't have to agree. Your conduct manifests this. And so, sister, you're right. And what I would say that we need to do to bring about this unity, first, you got to unite with Allah in your own self. He said He created us as nations and tribes to get to know one another and not despise one another. And me and a brother, before the show came on, I was by two Muslim houses, and we were saying, how can you love other people when you don't love Allah? How can you love yourself if you don't love Allah? If you don't know Allah and love Allah, how can you love yourself? And most definitely, how can you love other people? See, because Allah's love is what unifies people. Allah's love is what give people the knowledge and the wisdom to understand that His love is one love, like Bob Marley said. It's one love. It's not no two loves. It's one love and it's one evil. And you're either on one side or the other. You're on the side of the love of Allah, or you're on the side of the love, the hatred of Satan. Even in the old Christian sayings, they used to say, back 100 years ago, you can't worship two masters. You either worship in Allah or you worship in Satan, as the sister said earlier. So that was very profound and something that really needed to be said, because the solution to the problems over here in America with Muslims too is that, do you know, sister, this is Quran and Sunnah and Hadith. Mm-hmm. No Muslim is supposed to move to a non-Muslim country unless they come in to establish true and correct Islam. And most of the Muslims that come here to America, they don't come here to do this. They come here to join in the American immoral ways, corrupt ways, as we see. America, when President Obama was in there, they legalized same-sex marriage. Now, you know, Allah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, cities thousands of years ago, with His prophet Luke, Allah, for that same crime, and Allah do not change. So So inevitably, Allah is going to destroy all of this evil. And before he unites people, he ain't going to unite the good with bad. He's separating right now the evil from the good. So when he destroys all the evil, the good won't be caught up into it. They'll know the evil. Because here, these Muslims in America that from other places, actually, when they come here, most of them, they treat the African-Americans like Muslims, like we're not even Muslims, like we're niggers, like we're still slaves. We still slaves to the so-called white people. And now what's keeping us from unity also as African-American people is slave mentality. We're still suffering from the carryover of slave thinking. And what is slave thinking? Slave thinking is that the white man, so-called white slave master, they took Islam from us and gave us their white religion. And everything in their white religion made everything white right, made the angels white, made God white, gave God a son and made their God white. And so we've been whitewashed here as African-American people. And until we are unwhitewashed, get that miseducation. Get this false knowledge out of us that we've been taught here in slavery. We can't come back together. And I'm going to say this and then I'll conclude. But I was born in segregation here in America. And when we were segregated, we was making more progress than when we integrated. When they integrated us, it wasn't just a physical integration. We was making big progress when we were segregated. We even had towns. And not where I'm from, Durham, North Carolina, it was called Black Wall Street. Oklahoma City was called Black Wall Street. So the European or slave master said, I can't have this. And even I want to mention these two men because when they came together, they really assassinated them. The government did of the United States because they knew black people were certainly unite if these men came together. That's A.K. Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik Shabazz, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he gave up that false Christian religion, white religion, and he turned his life over to Islam. He didn't have to say that. His life showed it, and we got documents that he talked to Elijah Muhammad. He talked to Wahdaddin Muhammad, and he talked with Malcolm X all the time. And that's when they said, no. And even on the movie Malcolm X, they said, what? That's in New York City when they had beat the Muslim brother and locked him up to die. And Malcolm went down there with some more brothers, and they got him out. Malcolm got him out. Malik Shabazz got him out. The police chief said, they said it on the movie, they going to change it around. They don't want you to know the truth. That's too much power for one man to have. But he really meant it's too much power for one black nigga to have, black man to have. Because they know who we are, sleeping giants of the world, rulers of the world, but we just don't know that. So in order to change these conditions, we as Muslims, we got to accept that our culture, not culture, but our way of life as Muslims, and Prophet Muhammad said this prayer, and peace be upon him, he said that no matter what your culture are, don't confuse your culture with Islam, because Islam won't allow any immorality in your culture. The Quran, I want to read this from the Quran, and I'm through, but what you said was so profound, I want to give all that on it. Allah said in the Quran, among the highest gift that he's given to human beings is his revelations. And Allah say in his revelation, it teaches us between right and wrong. It teaches us the false and forgeries of people and between the true worship and true knowledge of Allah. And Allah say it teaches us the real life, which is beyond what we can't see, not this world. This world is an illusion. But it teaches us the reality of life, which is eternal, from the eternal future, from the falsehoods and temporary life that we're in now in this false and evil world. Allah say the prophets and messengers and teachers of Allah, women or men, are teaching Allah's truth. He say, we come and live among people to guide them on Allah's straight path. So I hope I answered some of that, all of it in what you were saying. But if not, we'll continue to talk.
No, you. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you very much.
I hope you're satisfied with the answer. If not, we can continue on.
No. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. We want to go on now. I see we have other guests, and we want to give everyone a chance. So if you can try to talk no more than 10 or 15 minutes at the most. I think we have about half an hour left here now. We want to try to give everyone a chance who comes on, at least to give a comment or two. What a beautiful discussion we are having today. It's really taken my mind back, especially to the teachings that I had, as we call it in the day, the first teaching. but you can see how we have really gone astray and are sort of confused, and appear to be confused according to our actions. But now I don't want to go on any further without calling another guest on, and this guest has been on for quite a while. And we'll see if they have anything to say at this time. That's a 614-989-7186. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Aisha Love. And I'm calling from California, originally from Chicago, though. I would like to say a few things. And one is we have to also, when we give the negative about the Ummah, we also have to give the positive. We have to leave in hope. We have to, you know, come together to discuss the issues, but we also, because we live by the fear and the hope of Allah's mercy. So we also, amongst each other, we also have to see that there is good in our community. Our youth, you know, the ones who have the knowledge and everything, they're taking off. They want to run with it. One of the problems in that is that the elders don't want to let go of the leadership, and the youth are wanting to take the banner and run, but the elders don't want to do it because they don't want to give up their reign. But we have to, you know, invest in our youth because we live in the best of times, we live in the worst of times. And the youth have technology. They can do a lot more than what we can do as elders. And we have to willingly, you know, first we have to teach them properly, which we pray that we have done when we're raising our kids. But it's not just that we teach them about Islam. We have to teach them why they're learning Islam. They're learning Islam because they're going to have to lead people later on, not just because it's all pretty and cushy and wonderful. It is. But we try to teach the children, you know, baby, the reason why I'm giving you this is because it's your inheritance. Islam is our inheritance. Allah promises that He also has a duty to and a responsibility to the human being. People say, oh my goodness, you mean God has any responsibility to? Of course He does. And He says He does. And one of His responsibilities to the human being is to guide. He says it is His responsibility to guide us. So therefore, also in the Quran, He says that He guides everybody, and whether it be majorly or minorly in, you know, something that the human being is going to, you know, the light is going to go on in his head, He says He guides everybody every year. The other thing that I wanted to say was, in the African-American situation, it is a very unique situation. In many, many different cultures and communities, they do try to equate with it. But then again, the African-American community is not like what's going on in Syria right now. You know, every hardship is felt differently, but the experience of the African-American is uniquely different, because when language is taken away from a people, you lose the people. But there's a reason why Allah did or allowed what he did. And as believers, we also have to learn to say alhamdulillah, like Allah says. The believer is one, when the hardship comes, they say alhamdulillah. And when a blessing comes, they say alhamdulillah. And that's something that we have to learn. Even in the hardship, we have to say alhamdulillah, because maybe this is what allows us, this generation, to be Muslim, because of that hardship. Another thing, when we're talking about our community, and the whole world is the ummah, you know, it's not just this community, that nationality, that race. It's not, and we're one ummah. There is only one ummah. We haven't gotten there, because that's where we're trying to get to, is that we are part of a whole ummah and not, you know, individual communities. But Allah tells us, and lower the wing of humility to the believers, and be strict with the disbelievers. It doesn't mean disrespectful. It doesn't mean anything. But even when we see one of our brothers and sisters doing wrong, we need to lower the wing of humility. When our kids are misbehaving, lower the wing of humility to the believers. And I don't see that in really any community, because as soon as we do something wrong, somebody is on it, or somebody is talking to another person, and we don't sit down in Ashura, sitting around and discussing things. We go to somebody else and say this, but we need to learn to lower the wing of humility to each other. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Okay, Imam Shabazz, you can continue. Yes, I want to comment, but we'll let you comment first.
Well, I really wanted to, what the sister said is true, so I don't really need to comment on it, but if you want me to, I will, but you said we didn't have much time, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to give their input, because this show, that's what Allah say, making us different. He made us different that we might get to know each other. And that's, in essence, what the sister was saying. She's absolutely right about the children being the future. And, you know, we can, like one man said on the song, teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside, you know. So we got to show them the beauty of Allah inside of them, but we can't show them the beauty of Allah inside of them if we ain't showing the beauty of Allah, like the sister said, and getting along with each other and showing each other love. That's what's missing in Islam, is love. That's what's missing in the world, the love of Allah. And the love of Allah don't disunite people, it unites people. Allah's love, not it, but Allah's love is a unification love. Everything in creation is unified through the love of Allah. So you said you had some more guests to come on. If you do have a guest to come on, give them an opportunity.
Yes, sir, that's exactly what I intend to do. I want to comment for the sister for a minute. Yes, I'm watching my time, brother. Thank you very much for reminding me, too. I it's so powerful, sister. You said so much, and you remind, I was thinking that, you know, one time I used to think like that, and I used to say I'm going to respond. There was so much of what we need to know. You seem to have brought everything together, and I can tell that you have. You are really studying and seeking Allah's guidance, sister.
No doubt.
And
no doubt.
Thank you for that. It's so well needed. And we must realize also that, don't forget that our youth, we don't feel afraid to move over, but make sure that they are ready to take over. We are there to guide them. to direct and give them assistance if they should need it. But we should not be preparing them by allowing them more so to do the work that we are doing, because they have a future and they have to be prepared for that future. And you're right, they should be the ones that we have up front now. And we are just there to assist them when they need us for assistance.
That's right.
But we should not be want to just stand there and be seen. And this is what has happened.
That's right.
We've gotten comfortable with positions and titles of recognition that we don't want to give it up. We don't realize that it's nothing. It's not Islam. Islam is reaching out to help your brother and bring him up. The youth, as well as old, anyone who is ready for that knowledge and that ability to project themselves in Islam and to do dawah with Islam and to take the position that you take, you give allow that person that chance to do that. And sister, I want to thank you for that. And I don't want to go on because we do have another brother on here who we love. He's like a part of, he is a part. He is a part. He is a family. And he always comes on every Sunday, and I want to give him a chance to speak now. And Imam Abdul Karim, and he's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I hope everyone's doing well. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And I hope you are too, and your family.
Alhamdulillah. No, I just I enjoy listening. Alhamdulillah, listening to the brothers and the sisters. Alhamdulillah, communicating and sharing good information. And a reminder benefits the believer. So I work with youth all the time. I work with, you know, my brothers and sisters, Muslims all the time. So it's just good to, you know, to hear information. And sometimes you forget, you know, as we're human. You know, we forget how we might be perceived or how we might be acting or effort that we could be putting forth towards our fellow human beings, towards our fellow brothers and sisters out here. I mean, because there was a time when I didn't know anything about Islam. You know, Allah made us all Muslims. We were born Muslim, but, you know, our parents and society could make us something else. You know, so there was a time when I didn't know a lot about Islam. And there was a time when all I knew about Islam was, you know, what, like you said, what the brothers and sisters in the nation were saying. You know, they had those strong Muslim names and they were all, you know, trying to be business owners and restaurant owners and barbershop owners. And, you know, they were all self-employed and they were doing a lot of things that were very positive in the black community. But I didn't know anything about Islam, but what the nation was saying or but what, you know, what I heard. And when you just listen to what you hear, you realize that you have to do some research on your own and you have to learn some things on your own. And you can't just base everything you know about something as important as religion. You can't just base it on what you heard.
That's
and,
right.
And alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to get closer to people who introduced me to Islam. And, you know, that's what we are for other people. Inshallah, we could introduce them to what Islam really is, not just what the TV is saying or not just what they heard about Muslims. And, you know, and it's important for us to raise our youth as strong Muslims with the identity that they can be proud of, you know, so that they're not afraid to be Muslim, you know, when they're away from us. And another thing that came to my mind when you guys were talking is that, you know, Allah accepts good. And there's a hadith that I don't know the exact word. I'm sure I could find it. But the Messenger talks about a man who was in the desert or he was traveling a long distance and he was sort of disheveled, you know, like his hair was messy because he was traveling a long way. And he doesn't have his horse. He doesn't have his camel. And he just finds himself like in the middle of a desert in the middle. And, you know, so no one could hear him asking for help. There's no one he could see. So he asks Allah for help. He looks up. He says, "Oh, Allah, help me, help me." And the Prophet said about this man, his food that he eats is haram. The drink that he drinks is haram. The company that he keeps is haram. the money that he earns is haram. So what kind of help is he expecting when everything he does, everything is haram, you know? But still, there's some iman in him that he asks. He looks up and he asks Allah for help. And I can't help but think that we may have all been there, you know, where we maybe didn't know enough about our religion. We didn't know what pleases Allah, what doesn't please Allah. We didn't know what Allah wants, what he doesn't want. We just went by what everybody else said. But then when we get into a tight spot, we ask Allah to help us, you know. So I love listening to shows because it reminds me of how fortunate we are to actually know what Allah wants, you know, to actually know who Allah is, to actually be able to get up this morning and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadar Rasulullah, to be able to get up in the morning and be able to say words that I know came off the messenger's lips, words that I know are in Quran, La ilaha illallah, that I know that God, this is the speech of God, said to say this. So I know that for a fact. It's not a translation. It's not somebody's translation of the meaning or somebody's idea. I know for a fact. And that's just a blessing for us to be able to get up and listen to a show or be a part of a religion and worship our Lord, the creator of everything, knowing that something that we did today is exactly what God told us to do and it's pleasing to him, what Allah told us to do and it's pleasing to him. Everybody doesn't have that. Somebody might get up this morning and say, well, I like to play the guitar, so I'm going to strum the guitar for my Lord. Did your messenger do that? Did somebody tell you that God likes that particular instrument, the key that you were playing on? Or did you know? I don't know. Maybe you have some proof that I don't have. But I know when I say La ilaha illallah, I know the proof that I have. And I'm able to do it knowing that that statement is pleasing to my Lord. And when I listen to a show or program and everyone is talking about things that are pleasing to their Lord and things that I forgot, that I'm responsible for, that I could do that are better for my neighbor, that are better for my mother, better for my father, better for my brother, better for my fellow Muslim and my fellow non-Muslim, that I could be doing, it's just excellent to listen to, and I pray that I get the good from the show and that I can say something good to the show and that I can add good and then forgive me for whatever I add that is wrong. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I myself, speaking to one of the sisters in California, one of the doctors, want to say that this is always a positive show. It's always about good. We started out with good. The unity of Allah brings about good. And I do want to say this, that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the last prophet of Allah sent to all humankind to bring them back to the love and unity of Allah, he said, religion is sincerity. He also said, you're not a true, not Muslim, mu'min, believer in Allah until you not only want for your brothers among mankind the good that you enjoy, but you actually assist them like you, my beloved brother Imam, assisted me when I needed help in a major way. We won't mention what it is, mashallah. He's pleased with you. And we still assist each other. And as the sister said, Allah, this is very important. We can't make progress without it, the doctor. We must, Allah said, be compassionate with the believers, but be firm and strong against the unbelievers. And like she said, he don't mean go out and fight them or whatever, but he means that don't. And but he says this in the Quran, do not take to the believers. Do not take unbelievers for your friends rather than believers. And so we as Muslims, we got to learn to befriend one another, just like me and you ain't been too long, haven't been too long ago, develop a friendship, and I haven't been knowing you that long. But you don't have to know each other long. You knew each other when Allah put his real spirit into us. He made us all one. So if you got his spirit in you, and you want, you living your life only to please Allah, and I'm living my life only to please Allah, that automatically makes us one soul. One soul. Okay. He said he created Adam, the first man, Eve, the Adam's wife, the first man and woman, he said he brought them together, a male and a female, and he said then he put his ruach, his spirit, into both of them, and it brought them together as one soul. So in essence, our mother and father, the beginning of all people, come from a set of parents that was one soul. They weren't two souls. And Allah said he didn't create no two souls or two hearts in the one body, meaning that you know you have to come to him for yourself. And as he said, and I emphasize, he said he loved when you're alone. And he said you'll be the closest to him in Jannah when you're alone. And I've done that often for 45 years this year. You're alone praising him, and you're asking for forgiveness of your sins, and you really mean it from your heart, and you can't deceive Allah, and you mean it to where you can't help yourself. You're just overcome with tears of gratitude, thanking Allah for forgiving us for so much we should be punished for. And Allah say he's often forgiven, most merciful. And he say that when he decreed or made his creation in the heavens and earth, he decreed that his mercy prevail over his wrath. This is why Allah's given us, you know, good. And Allah showers his mercy on the good, sister, and we know the bad that we do, that we all do. But Allah only accepts, as somebody said, good. Allah do not accept our bad. So, you know, everything everybody said was very good. And everything, it ties in. And we should all always listen at each other. Do not ever, you know, because Allah is all knowing. What do we know? We know nothing really in retrospect. We only know what Allah bless us to know. If Allah don't bless us to know and understand what is right from wrong, we'll live our life living doing wrong, like you said, Imam, thinking we're doing right. So we said every day, this is a prayer of mine I'm going to share with you all. Maybe you don't want to adopt it. I ask Allah every day to save me from my own self, my own will. Take my will and replace my will with his will, and let his will be done in my life, not my will. And he have done that with me. If you want something good, you ask Allah for the good, he'll bless you with the good. But he will not bless you for in the bad if you want to stay in the bad. Now, he'll forgive you. But you have to repent, change your conduct, and come back to his goodness, and then he will bless you with success as an individual and as a human race. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, it's my slam. Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry if I lost track of the time, and it is time. We want to really thank our beautiful guest sisters. Please join us again next Sunday, same time, and also invite others, all of you. Invite others, if you've enjoyed the show, invite others to join also and to join the discussion. Wonderful day, beautiful show. We thank Allah. And again, we thank Allah for you joining us. And we want to ask you to please come again next week, same time, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
One who would enjoy the ride. And from the day you were born, that promise was kept true. There was so much work to do, but something special about you, and that something told us the time had come, and you would be the one who fulfilled all the hopes, all the dreams and prayers, and gave goes on.